Okay, so you know how much we all love to get right into things.
Absolutely.
Right, and today,
Yeah.
well, today is a big one.
Yeah, it really is.
We're diving into, those
Oh,
final
yeah.
hours before the
The
betrayal
Last
and
Supper?
the Last Supper.
Well,
We've got this
I'll get there.
compelling
Good,
lecture from Dr. Daniel K.
yeah.
Darko on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 1 through 53.
Right.
And we really want to,
Break it down.
break it down, understand it.
Absolutely.
So no more, reading and reading and
Endless reading.
just get to the heart of it.
Yeah, I can
So
tell it.
let's do it.
Yeah.
We're talking about Jerusalem packed for Passover.
Yes.
And,
Tensions are high.
tensions are high, and this is it.
Yeah.
The end of Jesus's time
It is.
in Jerusalem, and there's some really surprising stuff in
Yeah,
here.
for sure.
So
Let's jump in.
let's get to it.
Okay.
So right away,
Yeah.
we've got this analysis from Dr. Darko, and he points out
He does.
how the chief priests and the scribes,
Right.
they're not just
They're not messing
they're
around.
not messing around. It's not just about silencing Jesus or
Right.
causing problems.
Yeah.
They want him dead.
They want him dead.
That's right.
So what happened?
Right. What was the,
What
yeah,
changed?
what was the tipping point?
Yeah.
Well, the lecture really highlights
Okay.
their fear of the people, right? And you have to remember,
Yeah.
Jerusalem during Passover
Yeah.
was completely overflowing with pilgrims.
Yeah.
I mean, Dr. Darko even mentions
Right.
an estimated 2.5 million people
Wow.
based on the historian Josephus.
That's a lot of
It's a
people.
huge number, right?
Yeah.
Try to imagine that,
Yeah.
like in a first century city.
Oh my gosh.
So the religious authorities, they
Right.
knew how popular Jesus was with the crowds, and they were terrified
Oh yeah.
of what might
Of
happen.
a riot.
Yeah, a riot unrest
Yeah.
if they tried to arrest him publicly.
Makes sense.
Right.
So they needed to be sneaky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They needed a covert betrayal.
Wow. So 2.5 million people?
Yeah.
That's a whole different
It really puts it in perspective.
ball game.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, there's also this whole other thing with Judas
Right.
that Dr. Darko talks about,
Yeah.
which is like this spiritual dimension.
Yes. And this is something that Luke's gospel really emphasizes.
Okay.
It's unique to Luke,
All right.
and that's the influence of Satan.
Oh, wow.
He says that Satan entered into Judas. Now,
Yeah.
this doesn't mean
Yeah.
that Judas isn't responsible.
Right.
He still made a choice.
Of course.
But Luke wants us to see
Yeah.
that there were these larger spiritual forces at work.
Right.
It's not just human motivations here.
So it's like almost a bigger picture
Exactly.
orchestration.
Yes. And so, with this spiritual influence,
Yeah.
Judas goes to the authorities
Right.
to make a deal.
Right. So there's the spiritual influence, and then.
Yes. And then he goes and says, hey,
Yeah.
I'll betray him.
Yeah.
I'll tell you where he is.
Yeah.
And they agree.
Okay.
They say, okay, we'll pay you.
Wow.
So Judas starts looking for a chance to hand Jesus over to them
Yeah.
when the crowds aren't around.
Secretly.
Right.
Wow. It's almost like it's
Yeah.
like this collision of
We did.
fear and
Yeah.
this dark spiritual
That's like
agenda.
his perfect storm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So let's move on to the meal itself,
Okay.
the Passover meal.
Yeah.
And we've got this really interesting
Oh, yeah.
set of instructions
Yeah.
that Jesus gives his disciples. I mean,
Almost secretive?
it's like it's prearranged or
It
something.
really does seem that way, right?
Like he knows what's going to happen. So he sends Peter and John
Right.
and he gives them these incredibly detailed instructions.
Incredibly detailed.
Yeah.
I mean, who would think of this?
It's like, look for a man carrying a jar of water.
Yeah, you don't see that every day.
No, especially not back then.
Right. Men didn't usually carry water.
Yeah.
So he tells them, look for this guy, follow him to the house,
Yeah.
and then ask the master of the house
Right.
for a large furnished upper room
Yeah.
where they can eat the Passover.
It's so specific.
It is.
And what's amazing
Yeah.
is they find it.
They find it exactly as he said.
Just like that.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And this isn't the first time
No, it's not.
Dr. Darko points out that, with
Right.
the triumphal entry, it's the
Yes.
same thing.
Jesus seems to have this foreknowledge,
Yeah. He's
like he's orchestrating things.
arranging things.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So the Passover itself,
Wow.
Dr. Darko mentions it
Six times.
six times in this passage.
It's clearly important.
It's a big deal. So why is that?
Why is this meal
Yeah.
so central?
Why?
Well, you have to understand
Okay.
that the Passover had this profound historical weight in Second Temple Judaism.
Okay.
And that's the period between the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonian exile and its destruction by the Romans. So it commemorated God's liberation of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt.
So it's this foundational...
It's a huge deal, right? This act of redemption.
Yes.
But over time,
okay,
especially during the Second Temple period, it had also become really connected to messianic expectations.
Oh, I see.
This hope for a future deliverance.
Okay.
Led by the Messiah.
So Jerusalem during Passover is not just...
It's not just crowded.
It's like...
Prison.
Yeah, it's...
With this anticipation.
Ranged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And Dr. Darko argues...
Yeah.
...that Jesus' actions during this Last Supper are intentionally set within this context.
So it's like he's
playing with these expectations.
Yes.
There's this powerful symbolism.
Right.
He even connects the sacrifice of the Passover lamb to Jesus.
Who he calls
the lamp of the world.
Right.
About to lay down his own life.
So these themes of sacrifice and liberation.
Absolutely.
They're all woven together.
They're all there.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about
the
Last Supper.
Yeah.
Luke's account specifically.
Luke's account.
Because there's some really
unique
and important details in there.
Yeah.
So one of the first things that Luke records is this statement from Jesus.
This very powerful statement.
Like, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.
Yeah.
Which is just so... Yeah, it shows how much this meal meant to him.
Right.
Knowing what was coming.
Right.
And then he says...
He does.
...that he won't eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
It's like a...
It's a turning point.
Yeah.
Right?
It is.
And then there's this detail about the cup.
Yes, the cup.
Where he blesses it twice.
Twice. This is something you only find in Luke.
Yeah.
So first he takes the cup, gives thanks, tells the disciples to divide it amongst themselves.
Right.
And then after the meal,
He
takes another cup.
Okay.
And this time he links it to the new covenant.
Right.
That's established by his blood.
So Dr. Darko is saying that this double blessing.
Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah. He suggests that it might highlight different aspects of the meal's significance.
Okay.
Like maybe one cup represents the traditional Passover.
Okay.
And the other, the new reality that Jesus is bringing in.
That's a really...
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Interesting thought.
Yeah.
Okay. So then there's...
The bread.
The bread.
Yeah. The iconic moment.
Yes.
Jesus takes the bread.
Right.
Gives thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks it.
Yeah.
And says, this is my body.
Right.
Which is given for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do this in remembrance of me.
Right. And it's after the meal.
Yes. After the meal.
That he takes the cup again.
The second cup.
Right.
And links it to his blood in the new covenant.
Yeah.
And then...
So right there.
Right there.
He drops this bomb.
Yes.
Someone is going to betray me.
He says, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table.
Wow.
Can you imagine being there?
I mean, the Passover is supposed to be...
Right. A joyous meal.
Joyous. A celebration.
A celebration. And then suddenly there's this shadow.
This impending betrayal.
Betrayal. Yeah. What was their reaction?
Well, they're confused.
Oh, yeah.
They're trouble.
Of course.
And they start questioning each other. Oh, like, who is it?
Yeah, who could it be?
Yeah.
It really brings the scene to life, right? This human reaction.
Yeah.
In the face of this shocking announcement.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so Luke's account, Dr. Darko, talks about how Luke really emphasizes certain things.
He does.
So what are some of those key...
Well, there are certain phrases
and
even certain omissions that underscore Luke's theological perspective.
Okay.
So, for example,
he
uses the language of a vicarious act.
Okay.
His body given for you.
Right.
His blood poured out for you.
Right.
So this emphasis on the sacrificial nature
of Jesus' death.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a really prominent theme.
Throughout Luke.
Yeah, throughout Luke's gospel.
Yeah.
And of course, there's that crucial command.
Yeah.
Do this in remembrance of me.
Yeah.
Luke is the only gospel writer.
Wow.
To include this explicit command.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Darko makes a good point that this has shaped Christian practice for centuries.
Yeah.
The Eucharist communion.
Right.
It emphasizes
remembering
Jesus's sacrifice.
Right.
And then there's the phrase, the new covenant in my blood.
Right.
Which connects back to Old Testament prophecies about a new relationship between
God and
humanity.
Yeah, the Messiah.
So it's really interesting how Luke's account is the foundation for so much of Christian belief.
It really is.
And practice.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Darko also points out some connections to the writings of Paul.
Oh, yeah. So
he points out that there are these strong parallels between Luke's narrative and Paul's account.
Okay.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yeah.
Particularly regarding the emphasis on remembrance and the concept of the new covenant.
Okay, so they're both.
It suggests an early and consistent understanding and practice within the early Christian community.
Yeah.
So both Luke and Paul.
We're basically saying the same thing.
Yeah, essentially.
Okay, so we've got this incredibly significant meal.
We do.
And then.
It's almost like whiplash.
It is a bit jarring because the disciples start arguing.
You start fighting about who's the greatest.
Right, and the timing.
Yeah, the timing is so weird.
It really is.
I mean, they just heard about.
They just heard about betrayal.
Yeah.
They just heard about the meaning of this meal.
The meaning of this meal, and they're like.
But they're arguing about who's the best.
Yeah.
They're like, come on, guys.
It really shows how imperfect they were.
Yeah.
So what does Jesus do?
Well, he uses it as a teaching moment.
Okay.
He contrasts the way Gentile rulers exercise authority.
With his vision of true greatness.
Which is
service.
Service, yeah.
Like he tells them, let the greatest among you become as the youngest.
Okay.
And leader as one who serves.
Right.
And Dr. Darko points out that in that culture, the youngest were considered the least important.
So he's flipping the script.
He's completely flipping it to illustrate servant leadership in his kingdom.
Yeah, and this is something he always does.
He always leads by example.
Yeah.
He doesn't just tell them what to do.
Yeah.
He shows them.
Yeah.
He points to his own example.
Serving at the table.
Yes, and then he gives them this promise.
Okay.
He says, you will eat and drink at my table.
Yeah.
In my kingdom.
Yeah.
And you will judge the 12 tribes of Israel.
Wow.
So he's connecting their future glory to their faithfulness and humility in the present.
So it's both immediate correction and long-term vision.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So Jesus has this farewell address.
He dies.
And there's this very powerful interaction with Peter.
Yeah.
So what happens there?
Well, Jesus warns Simon Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Simon, Simon.
Yeah.
Behold, Satan has asked for you.
Okay.
That he might sift you like wheat.
Hmm.
But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail.
So again, there's this cerebral conflict.
It's spiritual battle.
Yes, behind the scenes.
Okay.
And Peter.
Yeah, Peter the Rock.
Right. Peter, always so confident.
Yeah.
Says, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death.
Wow.
But Jesus knows better.
Yeah.
He tells Peter, I tell you, Peter the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me.
Right. And that's interesting.
It is.
Because Dr. Darko points out.
He does.
That Luke's wording is a bit different.
Yes.
Than the other gospels.
Uh-huh.
So Luke says that Peter denies knowing Jesus.
Right.
Not necessarily denying Jesus himself. That's an important distinction.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but it's there.
It's still a failure.
Of course.
But it's a different kind of.
A different nuance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then. Right. Jesus gives them these kind of
strange instructions
about being prepared.
Right.
So what's going on there?
Well, it's a bit of a puzzle.
Okay.
Right? Because he tells them, take money bags and knapsacks, even sell your cloaks, and buy swords.
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 Okay.
And he quotes the scripture.
Uh-huh.
He was numbered with the transgressors.
Right.
Saying that this must be fulfilled in him.
Okay.
And then they show him two swords.
Yeah.
And he just says, it is enough.
So what does that mean?
It's really hard to say.
Yeah.
Scholars have debated this for centuries.
So it's just this really mysterious moment.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a bit enigmatic.
Yeah. Okay. So then we get to...
Mount of Olives.
Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
And this really intense prayer.
Yes.
From Jesus.
Yeah. So Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives
uh-huh.
with his disciples.
As was his custom.
Yeah. He often went there to pray.
Right.
And he tells them to pray.
Yeah.
That they may not enter into temptation.
Right.
And then he withdraws
yeah.
a short distance, a stone's throw.
Okay.
And he kneels and prays.
And Luke's description of this prayer.
Yeah, it's really vivid.
It's powerful.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Jesus says, Father, if you are willing,
yeah,
remove this cup from me.
Right.
Yet not my will, but yours be done.
Such a powerful statement.
Yeah. And then Luke mentions something else that's unique.
Okay.
An angel from heaven.
Wow.
Appears to strengthen Jesus.
Wow.
And Jesus is in agony.
Yeah.
Luke describes his sweat as being like great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
That's a really...
It's a very visceral image.
Intense image.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the disciples are...
Asleep.
They're sleeping.
But Luke says...
They were sleeping for sorrow.
Right. So he's giving us...
A little bit of
understanding into their state of mind.
Yeah. They're exhausted.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Grieving.
Yeah.
And so Jesus urges them again...
To pray.
To pray.
Yeah.
So they won't fall into temptation,
right,
knowing what's about to happen to all of them.
Okay, so then we come to the betrayal.
The inevitable.
And arrest.
Yeah.
So what happens?
Well, Judas arrives, leading a crowd.
Right.
And Luke specifically says that Judas drew near to Jesus to kiss him.
And what does Jesus say?
He says, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?
Whoa.
It's just so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
This intimate betrayal.
Yeah. So the kid.
With a kiss.
Awful.
Yeah.
And the disciples, like, you can't blame them.
No.
They're trying to fight.
They are.
So what happens?
Well, they ask Jesus.
Okay.
If they should strike with the sword.
Yeah.
And one of them actually does. He cuts off the right ear.
Wow.
Of the high priest's servant.
Yeah.
But Jesus immediately stops them.
Yeah.
He says, no more of this.
Right.
And then he heals the servant's ear.
Right there.
Right there in the middle of his arrest.
It's just like...
It's amazing.
Yeah.
This compassion...
Doesn't stop
even then.
Yeah.
So then Jesus addresses...
Yeah.
The people who came to arrest him.
Right.
The chief priests.
Uh-huh.
The officers of the temple.
Yeah.
And the elders.
Yeah.
And he questions why they came with swords and clubs.
Yeah.
As if he were some dangerous criminal.
Right.
He points out
that
he was teaching in the temple every day.
Openly.
Openly.
Yeah.
They could have arrested him then.
Yeah.
And then he says,
yeah,
but this is your hour.
Yeah.
And the power of darkness.
And it's important to remember, like Dr. Darko says, that it's the Jewish leader.
In Jerusalem.
Right.
Not all Jewish people who are responsible for this.
Okay. That's an important.
It's a very important distinction.
Distinction?
Yes.
Okay. So even in this moment of betrayal.
Even then.
Yeah.
We see Jesus.
Healing. Yeah.
Showing compassion.
Wow. So this has been quite a deep dive.
It has.
Into Luke chapter 22.
A lot to unpack.
Verses 1 through 53.
Yes.
And Dr. Darko's insights have been so helpful.
They have.
Really bringing into focus everything leading up to.
The trail, the betrayal.
The Last Supper. It's all connected.
Yeah, we see the politics.
Spiritual forces at work. The deep meaning.
Of the Passover.
Mm. And the very human emotions of everyone involved.
Yeah.
And I think Dr. Darko's analysis really highlights how important Luke's account is for understanding Christian theology.
Okay.
Especially the Eucharist.
Right.
And the New Covenant.
And there's the human element.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The weaknesses.
Oh, Judas.
Or Judas and Peter. Yeah. Of the disciples.
Yeah.
And Jesus relying on
their prayer.
And on strength.
In the face of unimaginable suffering, it's all just so...
It's powerful.
Real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as you reflect on all of this, think about what might have driven Judas...
Your betrayal.
Yeah. Was it just greed?
Yeah.
Or were there other factors? Maybe even that spiritual influence that Luke talks about.
Yeah.
And consider Jesus's willingness to embrace this path.
Knowing everything. What weakness?
The human weakness.
Yeah.
The spiritual opposition.
Yeah.
How does understanding all of this deepen your appreciation for the events of Holy Week?
Yeah.
And for Jesus's sacrifice?
Wow. That's a lot to think about.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. So that wraps up our deep dive
into this pivotal moment.
It really does.
In history.
Thanks for joining us.